In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is risen. During Holy Week, we hear many allusions to the parable of the wise and foolish virgins, but we don't, at least in modern times, often hear that gospel being read. It's actually read on the 17th Saturday after Pentecost, which in contemporary times is not a day when most parishes have church or when people go to church. It's also read on the Feast of St. Thecla. But it's a very important gospel reading, as you can imagine, because it's constantly alluded to throughout the services. And the warning is that if we're not prepared, we can be caught off guard and wind up like the foolish virgins. But there's a little bit more to this gospel reading that I would like to talk about. It says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps." So the fathers tell us that the virgins represent those who are right believing in their faith. In other words, they're at least outwardly members of the church. But the foolish virgins bring only their lamps with no extra oil. And the way the fathers interpret this relates to the word oil and the word mercy, which in Greek are very close, eleos and eleon, basically. So they're very close in their sound, and the fathers connect mercy and oil very often in the various comments that they make about passages of scriptures that allude to one or the other. And the foolish virgins refrained from evil, but they did not live a life of doing good and showing love and mercy to others, whereas the wise virgins had done so in abundance. And so they had with them this abundance of oil. In other words, they had been merciful, and so they were receiving mercy. While the bridegroom tarried, they slumbered and slept. The fathers say that this alludes to the sleep of death. They lived their lives out, and then they physically died. And at midnight, there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. So the wedding customs of that time obviously are very different from our own, but the custom was to go out and meet the bridegroom when he appeared. And when exactly he would arrive obviously was not something that they knew. But the way this connects to our future life is, and I talked about this passage not too long ago, but in the passage where it talks about we will meet Christ in the air. We don't meet Christ in the air in a secret rapture that happens 7 years before Christ really comes back. We go to meet Christ in the air as he's on his way returning to earth. Well, these virgins are symbolically going out to meet Christ as he's on his way into the wedding feast, which is the feast that we all want to participate in for all eternity. But the point is, the wise virgins had plenty of oil because they had lived a life of true faith and works, and a faith that works by love. And so they had plenty of oil to shine the light of God's mercy, because the fathers say the lamps are the soul. And they were ready. They had oil and to spare. And this alludes to what Christ talks about elsewhere in the Gospel of Matthew, where he says, "Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father," the righteous who have lived a righteous life, who have spent their life about their Father's business. And then it says, "And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." The wise virgins did not share with the foolish, not because they would not, but because they could not. Basically, we have this life to work out our salvation. When we enter in the next life, it's too late. as we read about in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, when Lazarus is in the bosom of Abraham, and they're looking upon the rich man who's suffering torment and flame, and the rich man is appealing that Lazarus would come and dip his finger in some water and drop it on his tongue. And Abraham tells him that there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from hence. So it's not that the wise virgins were just being stingy and thinking only of themselves, but in the spiritual meaning of this parable, they could not help these people because it was too late. Their time to prepare was gone. And it was only then that they began to be aware of the fact that they should have spent their time giving to the poor and doing good, but it was too late, because at the midnight time when the bridegroom appears, there's nobody out selling oil on the street. They're not able to find it. It says, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Do we earn our salvation? You might ask. If a Protestant was listening to this sermon, that would probably be the way he would immediately react. So what are you trying to say, Father? You're trying to say that we have to do things to earn our salvation? Well, we don't earn our salvation, but God does expect us to do things. And if you look at this parable in the context of Matthew 25, what is the context? Well, this parable is followed by the parable of the talents, where even the servant that only had one talent was still expected to have at least to have earned something with the talent that he had been given. And the point of that parable is that, yeah, you're supposed to bring something to the table when you are a Christian. You're supposed to bring some fruit to show on the day of judgment. Doesn't mean that you're going to bring sufficient fruit to where you could walk into the kingdom of heaven and say, God, you owe me, because that's not true. God doesn't owe us anything. But God expects us to do something with what he gives us. And then that parable is followed by the parable of the sheep and the goats. And if ever there was a parable to emphasize the fact that we are judged based on what we do and don't do, that is very clear. Now, the thing is, what about St. Paul says we're saved by grace through faith alone? No, he doesn't say we're saved by faith alone. He says we're saved by grace through faith, not by works. But so what he's saying is the basis of our salvation is by grace. He's not even contrasting faith and works. He's contrasting grace and works. But we are saved by grace through faith that works by love. And if we have a real faith, as St. James tells us in the second chapter of his epistle, that means it's a faith that's actually going to do things. And so the only place in the Bible where it talks about faith and alone is where St. James says, so you see, we're not justified by faith alone. That's the clearest passage in Scripture on this subject. And so we don't earn our salvation, but we are expected to do something. We're expected to show some fruit, because God is our Father, and just like you have children, you wouldn't be happy if they were just sitting playing video games all day and never doing anything. You would expect them to do something with all the time and gifts that God has given them. God expects us to do something, because we're not going to just be going to heaven to strum on harps. We're going to be going to heaven, the Scriptures tell us, to rule and to reign with Christ for all eternity. So we're going to be doing things. So if we're going to be doing things for the kingdom of heaven throughout all eternity, maybe it's important that we learn how to do things in this life with the things that we've got. So that when, as in the parable of the talents, if we've been faithful in small things, God will make us put us in charge over great things. So inspired by the examples of the many saints that we have, especially the myrrh-bearing women who we celebrate today, who are obviously examples of women who followed the same pattern of these wise virgins, we need to go about our Father's business so we have fruit to bear before him on that day. Amen. Christ is risen.
He is risen.